Black Girl, No Magic. Essays and Reflections on Living Whilst Black by Kimberly McIntosh. For my mum, Jackie, for letting me choose my own path and trusting I would find my way home. Introduction. The second time it happened, I was looking at a birthday cake. It happened once before, but I can't remember the specifics of it. It's the kind of disorientation I imagine toddlers feel all the time. One minute, they're falling asleep face down in a bed, only to awake sitting up and staring at wispy clouds through the coned hood of their pushchair, transported somewhere else without their knowledge. It was the summer of 2012, and I watched my friend's birthday cake approaching his parents' kitchen island. I could see the pool in the distance, and time started collapsing in on itself. I didn't know how I'd ended up here. I didn't feel anchored in anything. The contours of my life hadn't followed the shape of others, and the unfairness of that fact unsettled and overwhelmed me, although only momentarily. The candles were blown out, we raised our glasses, and I was shaken back into my reality again. These were my friends, and this was my real life. Since childhood, I've known that people are governed by different rules depending on who they are, where they are born, whether they are rich or poor, the colour of their skin. The oft-repeated phrase, you have to work twice as hard as white people. The clarion call of immigrant parents, a descriptive comment, a demand, and an instruction, is one of the earliest examples that I remember, but I misinterpreted that lesson. I thought that hard work alone would be enough. I was a devout disciple of respectability politics, the belief that if a marginalised group presented themselves better, by speaking well, never breaking the law, pulling up their baggy trousers, or behaving properly in public, they would do better in life by proving their worth and humanity to those suspicious of them. I did well in school because I was special, I thought. I'd been lucky, of course, but I was a grafter. I kept my head down, had the right accent, was quiet and deferential. I worked the obligatory twice as hard. This was my path to the salvation of social mobility. Black people simply needed to be more excellent, and all our ills would evaporate. When stripped of humanity, reduced to caricature and condensed into tropes so deep-rooted, people reach for them unconsciously, pushing back with evidence that you're good makes sense. In the house of horrors that is public imagination, surrounded by unrecognisable reflections of the self, there's an almost compulsive desire to build new mirrors that accurately show the world and ourselves who we really are. If only the detractors could see that we're polite, kind and gracious, hard-working and humble, not heathen, they will see we're not so different after all. But while in some scenarios it can be a form of resistance, these ideas and aspirations become tools that we voluntarily take up and build a prison that bars us from living freely. As Elizabeth Uvi Benene writes in Slay in Your Lane, The Black Girl Bible, always trying to be excellent can put an unnecessary pressure on us. Conforming to societal expectations of a good black person is not the work required. By the time I got to university, I started to see that. You can't magic your way into fair treatment or justice. Excelling won't end racism or sexism. This is no sob story. Life has been kind to me, although not without challenge. This is not the case for a lot of other people who look like me. I'm interested in why that is. The academic Tressie McMillan Cottom writes that her essays always begin by interrogating, why me and not my grandmother? Why now and not then? And that is my preoccupation too. What do the realities of my childhood and 20s tell us about British society? What it means to get up every day and try to exist as a black person, a black woman, an ethnic minority, a working class person, a middle class person, a young professional, a friend, a girlfriend, a one night stand? And what compelled me to write the world's cringiest travel diary and Facebook posts in the 2010s? With a tiny bit of distance, I can see more clearly how societal norms, the stories told about black people and women, and, as a consequence, the stories we tell ourselves, have influenced my actions and my self-esteem. I spent my 20s parading pieces of my personal life online, with little thought of the consequences.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?